Any comments on the minute?
No, we corrected it.
I move the exception is written.
Other business.
Second. Correct that. Any discussion on the minutes? Yes, and minor thing. Go to the VO's name spelled wrong.
I did that.
Spelled it the same way for the past 5 years. Either me, someone has never mentioned it before.
How is it spelled?
Is Mr. DeVita in the room?
Yes, it's DeVita with a capital V.
Alright, any other? Yes.
I was wondering if that was smart. In the minutes, I agree with the correction it said that I asked to get clarification. I actually asked for a breakdown of the standards, so because the 1753 for Mr. Lane Mile for standards, so
okay.
I asked for a breakdown of that.
Okay, well that's not noted in the minutes. Okay. Correct or correct?
Where is it?
I do not remember that comment in the minute.
Sorry, which page is that in?
All right, so can you clarify again?
Well, in the spirit of being picky, I will note that Rick Otness's name is also misspelled.
Not the first time. Rick, you want to clarify the spelling of your name over here?
Sure. Which part?
I hit a laugh.
All right. I'm guessing it's the obvious part.
Can't be sure. The N-E-S-S is in Sam Sam.
All right. You got that, Lenny?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Back to you, Doctor. Have we found the page or... So with that amendment, yes.
What are the words that you like
to add to that? What was the amendment to the minutes that we're adding?
Doctor, would you repeat one more time?
That I asked for a breakdown of the $1,750 charge per lane mile for the same salt disbursement during the ice snowstorm.
Get it? Looks like. I don't think that is affirmative. So the amendment to the minutes, do we need a motion to now accept the amended minutes?
Somewhere.
Your second? All right, discussion on this amendment. If there's none, all in favor of the amendment to the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, back to the minutes. Are there any other modifications? Robert, do you see any other misspellings?
No.
Excellent. Aye, special. All in favor of passing these minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes passed. That was a record, please note. All right, meeting agenda. So understand this is a special call meeting. We cannot make additions or changes to this special call meeting. So we're going to move along to public comment. Now at the time, we will have general public comment. And Brian is collecting the cards. If you would, please, when I call your name, in this case, Mr. Sims, if you'd please just step
up. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, the speaker. And spell your name for the report.
Sims with three M's. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor and Council. I won't take too much of your time. I know that we're going to be doing a second vote on the budget, and I just wanted to kind of give my two cents when it comes to the budget. I'm an HR professional as well as have an accounting background, and when I looked at the budget, this is the first time I had to do that today. One thing that kind of jumped out of off the page was the insurance, I guess, in general when it comes to voluntary benefits that we would be paying city employees. When I did a quick calculation, that number for insurance and retirement was $872,000. And what jumped off the page is, I guess, the amounts that were budgeted for those line items, just to hit some. I know that as employers, we can't control when we hire an employee whether they're going to need family coverage or single coverage, so we have to kind of put in a lump sum figure to try to figure that out. But it seemed like some of the numbers were a bit high, and I don't know if that was to make it simple or not, but for a small company, I guess, is how I describe what this city is. On average, I would think that a dental plan would cost $90 to $100 per month to cover a family. And when I crunched the numbers, it looked like we had budgeted for $316. And then vision, in my estimate, is about $20 to $25 per month, and the budget at $100. Now, I don't know what the city's plan is for paying for benefits, if we are going to pay for 100% of the benefits, or are we going to cost share with the employers with us, but being an HR professional, I know benefits are a very slippery slope in terms of once you pay for something, employees don't like it taken back, and they also don't like their benefits reduced when you can't afford to pay the same or more cost the following year. The long-term disability looked like it was over. Like, again, I'm not going to split hairs. It just looked like when I added the numbers up, $872,000 for 55 employees for voluntary benefits that the company, you know, that the city is going to pay seems awfully high. The number that especially jumped out at me is the retirement benefit of 12% of salary. I don't think anybody in this room, small business owners or large business owners, provide their employees a 12% retirement benefit. I know that the average is probably 2.5% to 5%, so I would just implore you guys to maybe look at those numbers to see if we can't come up with something that's more reasonable with industry standards. If you choose not to, that's fine, Danny, as well. I appreciate your time. The only second idea I wanted to talk about, I know we're not voting on this tonight, was just on the violations. I know that violations are required for us to have a police force, but it seemed like the minimum cost for a violation was $175. To me, that is a very large sum of money. I know that I'm a law-abiding citizen, but it's not going to be the case that I won't be bound to be by some other person who's not doing fully going too fast or not stopping at a stop sign. So I would want to suggest to the council that we consider looking at everything and not making a base cost of things. Especially there was a $30 processing fee on each violation, which if we're going to try to be nimble and small rather than big and automated, especially since we're going to have computers and automated ticketing in the police cars, it just seems like a large number. I guess everything goes through the bottom line of making money for the city, but I didn't want coming up with a ticket and fine rather than protect and serve. I know that Mr. Shortle has expressed that he doesn't want Dunwoody to become a police state, and neither do I, but it just seems that if we're going to put a big onus on generating fees, etc., that we would want to make better first impression.
Thank you, Mr. Sam.
Thank you. Can I just add one? I just want 30 seconds, if you don't mind, sir.
30 seconds.
Okay, yes, sir. I would like to encourage maybe finding money in the budget to put aside like $3,000 as a housing allowance for any police officer who would like to live in within the city. I know we're going to get vehicles and stuff, but I think that it would be especially prudent for apartment complexes, townhouses, etc., to have that sign of somebody who's caring and living in their neighborhood as there as a 24-hour presence. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay, seeing that there are no other public comments, we're going to move on to the public hearing portion of this meeting. And in order to do that, can I get a clarification, Brian? Do we need to officially vote to move into this?
No, you can just make an announcement.
Okay, my announcement has been made. Okay, we are going to jump into the City of Dunwoody interim comprehensive plan, and I'll ask for community development staff to come and give us a presentation.
Yes, thank you very much. The item before you tonight is the adopt the interim comprehensive plan for the city. What we're proposing to do is it's one of our operational startup issues. The Cab County system adopted a comprehensive plan a little bit over a year ago, and that reflected the City of Dunwoody as did the whole county. We are in the process right now of actively starting and completing our own comprehensive plan this year. However, to be policy sound and legally sound as we perform planning and zoning operations over the next year, we do need to have a comprehensive plan to base those decisions on. So the idea tonight is to adopt the DeKalb County plan as an interim and then adopt the city plan as soon as possible.
Wonderful. Yeah, any questions for staff from council before we move into public comment? Yes, any?
Jennifer, have we gone through here and found anything that would be particularly distasteful to our citizens that in making the changes or the biggest adopter?
Both. In the time that I have been here, I've received a number of comments of citizens that are content with the DeKalb County plan and some that feel it has some real flaws as it represents the city of Dunwoody. I don't advise that we make changes to it at this stage. The comprehensive plan and the contents of that plan are heavily dictated by the state, and there's a very specific process to go through to adopt a legally sound plan. The plan before you has gone through this process. If we start making little changes, we may accidentally knock ourselves out of compliance with state standards, and there's a lot of repercussions that come with that. We have contacted the Atlanta Regional Commission and sought their advice of how far we can go with a minor amendment, which we can handle at a local level, and we're working with them to find that balance. So we may be able to make some changes to the comprehensive plan, the interim comprehensive plan, within the next few months, but I would advise against it tonight.
Thank you. Any other questions from council? Okay, we will move to the public comments phase. And we want to flip a coin, see who speaks first. We're going to have anybody that wants to speak in favor of the comprehensive plan, anybody that wants to speak opposed. And I'll do fairness. I don't want to choose which one speaks first, so I'll call it. Well, what?
Tails is
common. All right, so that was the pro. Anybody would like to speak?
If I may, I believe the ordinance you had passed for the rules and procedures of this requires the pro to go first.
Oh, well, there goes
my... As much as I love a good point.
Your point.
God will provide. Yeah.
Thank you, Lenny. We might need to make an amendment here. Yeah. We will call for a pro, and if anybody that would like to speak in favor on the comprehensive plan as it is, please just stand up and make your way to the podium. All right. Seeing that there is none, we will move to the con for general comments on the conference plan. Please make your way to the podium. All right. Seeing that there is none, do I have a motion to close these public comment hearing?
Just do it.
And this public comment hearing is closed. I like it when I don't need motion, so I will remember that. The next public hearing we're having now is the interim future land use.
Now close the public. Yes. You just closed the hearing portion. Now, if you had the public comment portion, could you close the actual hearing?
Okay.
Do we get
and I can do that without a motion.
Yes.
All right. I will close this the actual public hearing as well. All right. Moving on to the interim future land use map. I guess. After, please talk to us.
Absolutely. This is essentially a second portion of the comprehensive plan. It's a graphic description of the policies within the document itself. I believe it's page 7 or 8 of the executive summary that you gave me of the comprehensive plan. So it's the graphic description of those policies. It will be our guidance over the next year as we look at policy issues.
Fantastic. Any questions from council?
Nice. That's your chance. That's your question. No, I know.
Same advice I gave you on the first public hearing item, which is I'm a little concerned if we start making changes to this document that went through a very strict adoption process. We may accidentally do some things to ourselves that we don't know.
Okay. Thank you. Right. See, there are no questions from council. I'm going to open to public comments. Again, anybody who wants to speak pro on this portion, please make your way to the podium. Is that the coffee maker? Okay. Seeing that there's none, anybody wish to speak against this, please make your way to the podium. Please be noted that Bill is making his way to the back. All right, seeing that there's none, I'm going to close public comment, and I'm going to close this public hearing. All right, moving on. Lenny, I guess you're doing the honors today, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Give me 1 second. You got it.
This is ordinance 2009-01-01. This is an ordinance to adopt and approve the interim comprehensive plan for the city of Dunwoody, Georgia.
Okay.
Will we approve the comprehensive plan for the city of Dunwoody?
I'll second.
Basis.
Oh. Okay, there's a second on that, discussion on that?
We have to have something on the board, on the books. It's good to have this on the books. I think it does need to be, hard look at when we're doing that, and we would love to have someone come up with one. I just hope in the interim that we don't have any loopholes that we can get blindsided with, like how you build words or anything else that may be out there in the big world.
Thank you. Yes, John?
I agree with what Denny said. The prior comprehensive plan for DeKalb County had the densities of the Dunwoody area basically half of what it is now. We may need to, when we do our own comprehensive land use plan, to look at the previous one that was done, to compare the changes that were done from the very last version to this version, to see if we want to roll back the densities to that level. So we shouldn't only be looking at this comprehensive land use plan. When we do our own, we need to be looking at the previous one as well.
Absolutely.
All right, any other comments?
Yes, and just one question. You know, with some of the things, and that is one of the big issues which I think, and Jennifer, are you recommending that we don't do anything to this until we come up with our entire comprehensive land use plan?
Not necessarily. We are seeking, as I said, some guidance from the Atlanta Regional Commission, which is our state representation in this process, of how far we can go with a minor amendment to this plan. The difference between a minor and a major amendment is a minor is something that we can just take care of at our own level and the state doesn't get involved. A major amendment is essentially doing a new plan. So if we were to start a major amendment to this plan, we'd probably finish before we got the new plan done. So we're researching the options of how far we can go on a minor plan, and we'd be happy to bring that to you within the next probably 6 weeks.
The issue that John has brought up is one of the biggest issues in the state.
Yes.
Any other discussion? All right, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution carries. We're ready when you're ready.
One second, please.
That's fine. No pressure.
All right, this is ordinance 2009-1-2, an ordinance to adopt and approve the interim future land use map for the city of Dunwoody, Georgia.
Second.
All right, there's second discussion. Don't note any comment on the map itself. And seeing that there's no discussion, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Back page now.
This is ordinance 2009-1-3, ordinance of the City of Dunwoody adopting the 2006 edition of the International Property Maintenance Code, regulating and governing the conditions of maintenance of all properties and buildings and structures, and providing standards for supply of utilities and facilities and other physical things and conditions essential to ensure that structures are safe, sanitary, and fit for occupation and use, and the condemnation of buildings and structures unfit for human occupancy and use and the demolition of such existing structures in the city of Dunwoody, providing the issuance of permits and collection of fees therefore for other purposes.
I'll move to approve.
Any second discussion on this?
Okay.
I'm sorry, Robert. Yeah.
I just have a question for staff as to how this compares with the few pieces in here that are obviously set aside for customization, which is what we're looking at here. How does this compare with DeKalb County and with the other municipalities in the area?
Well, what we're proposing to do tonight is to adopt the International Code Council's Maintenance Code, and we're required to do that in a separate adoption process, which is what we're accomplishing tonight. The code itself is this book. So should you adopt the maintenance code, everyone is adopting the same maintenance code. Essentially what we're doing is we're giving ourselves the authority and the teeth to have code enforcement action.
Right, but that book, which yes. I did read, has inserts in it that says to be filled in, to be filled in, to be filled in. This is those fill-ins, right? So for example, that book says that you can have a code that talks about how high grass can be before
yes.
it's out of compliance. What we're specifying is 8 inches. What that book says is there's a date range that you have to have for how a landlord has to maintain heat.
Yes.
Right? From date X to date Y, the heat has to be on and it has to be up to at least level A. And we're specifying that from April to October. Right? So, or that's air conditioning, whatever it is. But anyway, these represent the inserts that we're creating to go into the sections of that are generic. And what I'm asking is, how do these standards that we're adopting measure with either what we've been living with or what Sandy Springs or Johns Creek or Milton have used, because we've clearly made some choices here. We said 8 inches instead of 10, or we could have said 6. I'm just trying to get a feel for how this compares to what we've had.
I understand. I know that we are comparable to our surrounding metro areas. I don't have a specific example with David Dine where I could give you some examples of where the grass height is in surrounding jurisdictions. This was written and proposed by the community development staff who've all been working in the metro area for a while and are all familiar with this coast. So we are comparable with the other areas, but for specific examples, I would need to do a little bit more research.
John?
No.
No,
I'm good.
Yeah, Jerry. Well, Robert, I didn't read the whole book, but I do have pages of something important. Because Jennifer sent them to me. But all those pages were something that's been very interesting to us at the council, and that is, you know, we were talking about the various speeds and what had to be inspected and things like that. And I think that Jennifer sent this to me, and there are several things here, up to like 13, that are exempt basically from permits. That we were discussing at our last meeting, that we were concerned that, you know, we only had the great Harvard place to debate. You missed it. But I think that those kind of spell out a little bit and help us clarify that. And also, you know, on the emergency, you know, 105.2.1 says when equipment replacement and repairs must be performed in an emergency situation, equipment application shall be submitted within the next working business day to the building officials. And eventually, you know, this sounds very cumbersome, but eventually we're going to go electronic on this so that somebody can just go to their computer and apply. So I think that does ease some of the things that you and I had concerns about the last meeting. But there are several items here that we don't have to have the permits for.
Thank you, Danny. Any other... Yes, Robert.
Yeah, just my main concern, and I used a couple of examples. My main concern was the question of the minimum occupancy area requirements. Mm-hmm. I just don't have a feel for how restrictive we're being. Because, you know, I can read it and I can visualize it, but I just don't know whether we're setting up an environment that would prohibit, you know, an extended family from living in a house together. Or, you know, is there some sense that we're trying to create Mayberry here? Is, I guess what I'm trying to say is there an attempt to be restrictive enough that we could go after people who have too many family members in a house, or is this pretty generic stuff that you'd find anywhere in the area?
It's a little bit of both. The purpose of that section is to kind of find a new way to skin the cat, and that your zoning regulations get into how many people can be living in a home that are not related by blood, marriage, or consanguinity, all of those really fun technical terms. This is another way of going after the issue where you've got a lot of people living in a structure where the structure's not designed for that level of occupancy, yet everyone's proving a familial tie. So this is another way to try to get at the point of people overloading the infrastructure of a particular home or apartment complex or condominium. To get to the point of your specific question, to give you a comparison of how we're lining up between Roswell and Sandy Springs and our neighbors, I would need an opportunity to look into that, and I'm happy to do so. I just don't have it off the top of my head tonight.
All right, any other questions? Seeing that there are none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Please note, Robert is opposed. Maybe. Thank you.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Councilman Hennigan didn't vote.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry.
And he needs
sorry.
To, because
I was thinking of the requirements. I was looking for a possible deferral, and the requirements of the aspect when Jennifer volunteered that she would look into it. But the motion was on the table to approve. You called the question. The answers were there for yes. So I'll vote against it.
Okay.
So
sorry about that.
That's all right. I was contemplating my rationale of what I was going to do.
that gave Lenny some time to
catch up.
Maybe not. I'm just creating my own. That's hit again with two N's.
One in the middle of the end.
This is Ordinance 2009-1-04, an ordinance to adopt the fiscal year 2009 budget for each fund of the City of Dunwoody, Georgia, appropriating the amounts shown in each budget as expenditures, adopting the appropriated revenues for each fund, prohibiting expenditures to exceed appropriations, and prohibiting expenditures to exceed actual funding available for each fund.
I move to approve that.
I'll second.
Second, all right, discussion on the budget.
Yes, thank you. I don't know which version I have.
Wait.
Here, I printed off one late this afternoon. And one I had, pages 7 and 27, were not corrected, but I saw somebody who was going to correct 7, but I don't know if they corrected 27, which was to update the detail of the non-departmental funding. Page 26 is the non-departmental budget correctly. It's 1.743.050. But the summary did not have the additional $100,000 for property insurance property.
Did you put the one out of your mind?
No, I get asked to put it out.
It has been. It Councilman Shortland, it has been correct.
Thank you. Okay. Next question, Warren, while you're up there. One of the things that came to mind today, talking to Robert, was the stormwater fund. You know, the CBI study, that's where it came from. There's some discussion, but anyway, it's 1.171.464 million. That is not included anywhere in our budget. Somewhere in this budget has a sinking fund or a contingency fund for stormwater sewer. I think that should be noted.
I appreciate that. The stormwater utility has not been created yet by the City of Dunwoody. It's intended that we will do that this year. Through that process, you have to go ahead and adopt a stormwater plan, which comes along with what the expected expenses will be for the stormwater system and then what the appropriate revenue would be. So my recommendation is at the time that you create the stormwater utility to amend the budget at that time to create the stormwater fund because it currently doesn't exist. So when you, I think the appropriate time to do that is when you create the actual stormwater utility fund.
Okay, but those funds will come in via the tax bill, as I understand.
It will depend on what ordinance you choose to adopt, whether or not those taxes will be billed or not for stormwater.
Well, they'll be billed either way, don't they? They'll need to go to the county or to us.
No, if the utility is not formed, then the fee is not charged.
Okay. Right now, that is on our tax bill.
It was for 2008, but for 2009, being that we have the authority to regulate stormwater, it's going to be up to this council to decide whether or not that gets on the tax bill. Because part of the thinking is that the tax rate that's set for stormwater is a countywide rate that's based on what it costs expense-wise, projected to maintain and prepare the capital costs for the stormwater on a countywide basis. Some form of the city is probably going to have to look at what it costs just for the City of Dunwoody. It may cost more to handle stormwater, it might cost less. So that's why I'd be uncertain to estimate what that cost rate is going to be until we've got the proper details in place.
I guess I sorry, but I don't quite understand. When our tax bill comes out this year, that will be on there.
Can't
that would be taxes
Yes, 2008 taxes paid in 2009. Robert, could you...
Yeah, the state allows counties and cities to assess a separate stormwater fee. They're not under any obligation to do it, and some cities and counties do, and some don't. And DeKalb has always assessed, or has recently, I think it's only a 3 or 4 year old tax, but for the last 3 or 4 years we've been paying that to the county. There's no obligation for us to continue that. The county won't assess that this year because we're not in their jurisdiction. So we either set one up or we don't. It'll be up to us if we want to do it and if we want to do it at what level.
Okay, any other...
Yes.
As I recall, 2008, the number was $1.2 million that we were to assess for stormwater. So that kind of gives the range of what we're looking at. One of the things we found out in negotiating the IGAs is the county, we thought initially had some reserves set aside, and that's one reason we were looking at maybe signing on to their stormwater. But it turns out they had no reserves. So there's no benefit for us going with the county and the IGA.
And I'll be putting my recommendation to council in the past and currently and will be in the future is that the city set up its own stormwater utility and to put that fee onto the tax bill. It's just that there are certain steps under the law that you have to go through to be able to establish the utility, and I think those steps need to be taken before we put it in the budget. But that is definitely the direction that staff is recommending to go forward with, because it is the most efficient way to fund the necessary repairs to the stormwater system.
I just think a point to bring that up to everyone here is the fact that, you know, the system has been around for quite a while with minimal probably repairs done by the county. And for us not to have some type of a long-term sinking fund, if you will, a capital expenditure fund, is rather fiscally irresponsible. So I think that's one of the things that we need to do. And as far as, you know, the money for the DeKalb County, initially we were going to, as I understand, take a good hard look at keeping our utility there until we found out that they're really quote-unquote aren't their funds. They don't have funds in reserve there. Unless, you know, it's probably under some other name down there somewhere.
Yeah, it's backlogged.
They're in the meeting that they can't get to what needs to be gotten to. So not much of an insurance policy.
Good point, sir. Yes, Danny?
It would take one stormwater problem at Perimeter Center probably expire a $1.2 million problem. Yeah. I mean, it's certainly something you need to be...
Yeah, it certainly... One of the issues and challenges that cities face, especially when you're starting the former utility, we formed one last year in 2008 in Norcross, and what we did by ordinance, well actually not by ordinance, but by policy, was actually set aside, I believe, almost 15% of the funds each year for a five-year period to build a reserve fund. The other funding strategies that cities use successfully in that it's a revenue source that can't take a revenue bond out if you wanted to take out, you know, make significant improvements and then use the revenue to pay off the bonds over a long-term period. But the other strategy is to create that reserve fund each year by making some capital improvements, but also reserve funds so that you can pay in cash if you have a major incident like you're describing. Because, you know, if you could possibly, you know, if you rupture something under the road, you may be repaired as for Dunley Road. That's going to be significantly expensive.
John?
I was going to change to, we had a public comment regarding group health insurance. I'm sure that you were looking at those and that comment was made. Can you give us some comments as to if we're being too generous, whether our insurance and our disability and our dental?
Yeah, I certainly can. And
The
awkward nature of the this budget is that there are certain decisions that have yet to be made, but projections had to be put into the budget. So what these projections are based off of is from my experience with some of the health insurance programs, and this is a worst case scenario. So what we've done is taken an estimate and assumed that everybody takes the family care. So that's why the estimates are going to be higher. And that's part of the conservative budget philosophy we put in place, is that we put the worst case scenario in here. Additionally, once the benefit package is established and approved by the mayor and council, those numbers will then be amended to reflect what the actual costs are going to be, because they may be significantly lower. This also does not make any assumptions as to what percentage of premium the employees will be paying versus what percentage that the city will be paying. And that is an open question. There are cities that range from 95% down to 60%. That's a policy choice we're going to need to make. We are probably within 7 to 10 days of making a formal recommendation to council on the benefit package. And I've yet to receive the final recommendation from staff. And as soon as I do, I make some decisions. I'll bring those to y'all for consideration. So that's going to significantly impact some of the choices that we're going to make here. So I think these numbers are high.
Okay.
Because I thought, from a budgeting standpoint, it's easier to cut it than to add to it. The other point that was brought up on the retirement.
Right.
And what we've done here, I believe, is somewhere between 10 and 12% retirement benefit. In the model that we looked at, again, worst case scenario without having a recommendation before you, is Johns Creek. And Johns Creek does, I believe, 12% payment of gross salary, and then if the employees put in 5%, they match another 5%. So they're actually at 17% contribution. And that's one of our significant competitors in the marketplace. When we talk about policemen, which is going to be the bulk of our hires, being that all the other hires will be completed before the benefit package is established. And again, that's not to say that we have to match Johns Creek. There's certainly other cities that we compete with for employees. So that's, again, a policy choice council's going to have to make, and I expect that number will go down, not up.
Are you exploring different packages for the police department versus other city employees?
That's a possibility. We haven't gotten that far into the process yet, but certainly it's a possibility.
Gibson, Dean?
Yeah. Along that same line, if you take Mr. Sam's number, you record it, $172,000, take the number of employees, you're talking about somewhere in the $70,000 per employee for benefits costs. And that does seem relatively high versus a $40,000 starting salary for a policeman.
Right. It's a load factor, and I don't have the final numbers, but somewhere around 40 to 45%, knowing that that's going to come down. And we were aiming to try and get to a 35% load factor. I don't know that will be ultimately possible, based on some other considerations, but certainly, when we talk about employee contributions to premiums and employee contributions to their retirement, those numbers can start to come down.
This is another subject. We adopt in your fiscal year, January, December. This means we have to start here December 2008. We're going to have to do an audit for it. Is that correct?
I would think so. And I think that we may have to go back and also adopt a budget for 2000. As silly as it sounds right now, coming out of my mouth, but you may need to come back and adopt a budget for fiscal year 2008 that's already passed and appropriate in dollars. Obviously, we didn't expend anything in 2008, but we had certain obligations that we took on from an accrual basis of accounting. So I think once the city appoints its auditor, along with our finance director, we'll get a definitive answer as to how we need to do that in consultation with the Department of Audits with the state of Georgia.
But there were expenses we incurred, and we just prepaid in advance of that, that would be part of that audit too, probably. These are the services provided by the county.
Well, talking about expenses that we didn't pay out anything in 2008 because we didn't have any cash.
Citizens have done what he prepaid that. We didn't pay it as a citizen.
Right, they paid, well, it would be included in the county's, I believe in the county's cap or in the county's audit for any expenses that the county took on that we contributed to as a city. I guess it's an open question of whether or not, from December 1st since we were incorporated, how that works, and I'll be honest with you, I have no idea, but that's certainly something we'll look at.
Warren, can you talk to us a little bit about the police and the idea of a housing allowance and how you would deal with that if that was something that ended up making sense?
Certainly there's a number of strategies that cities look at when it comes to housing allowances for police officers or employees to live in the city limits. And they range from down payment assistance to bridge loans to rental, to include rental payments and stipends. And they have a range of successes, and certainly that's a policy decision the council will make. And I think if we go in that direction, we need to look at that from a budgetary standpoint at the time we make that decision and either amend the budget by moving funds around or possibly use some of the contingency. But I think it's certainly something worth looking at.
Well, just on that same point, with savings, we'd have a gas savings for the officers who live in Cumming versus the officers that live in Dunwoody. So there might be a swap of expenses in the sense of the gas save for a minor stipend of something.
Potentially, yes.
Danny, you know, I think, you know, getting back to the subject of benefits and pay for our employees, I believe that everyone should get a fair wage under any circumstances. I would also say that in these economic times that there are a lot of job seekers for the jobs out there, good people that are out there looking for jobs. And I don't think this is a time that we have to pay a premium over anyone else around us. I guess my point is to be fair not only to those that work for us, but be fair to the citizens who are paying us salary.
Yeah, the budget is something like $83,000 for gasoline expenses for 2009.
I think we actually raised it to $125,000. And that was when we made the change to go from a fleet concept to one car, one officer. We raised the gas estimate up to $125,000.
You feel like that's adequate to support people who might live in Cummings or Smyrna?
I think one of the things that the chief and I are going back and forth with now is we will be establishing within our policies some sort of a mile range limit so that the vehicles, you know, obviously, you know, going into Pickens County or Chattanooga would be slightly abusive, I think, of the taxpayers' dollars. It certainly doesn't fit in with just our goal of and providing a recruitment tool to get the best officers. So we're going to look at a reasonable limit that would provide us with that recruitment tool without being obnoxious about how we're spending the city's money. We haven't figured out what that radius is going to be at this point. We're certainly going to come up with a recommendation on that from a policy standpoint.
Just one question more. We talked about doubling up the number of fleet concept to the cars. The number of
radars
and lasers,
I'm looking out for
capital outlay for just general equipment at the bottom there. Yeah, it should be a minimum number only. Yeah, I think it's at 135, 205. Yeah.
You're
right. The last figure was 120,205, so it went up to
115,000. Okay. All right, any other questions?
I'll echo the comment that I made last time we talked, and that is, I think you guys did a spectacular job here. Thank you. Enormous amount of hard work, a lot of discussion. Because we didn't have any historical data, there was every single number was subject to discussion and multiple points of view as to what the number ought to be. So I appreciate the work that went into this, and I thank you, and I think you've given us a good starting roadmap. So great job.
Thanks to the Chair and the committee, Robert, and the council as well. So I talked to both of you. Any other questions for Warren? All right. Thank you, Warren.
Thank you.
Any other discussions internally on the budget? Seeing that we don't have any, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? John?
I did vote the first time. I'm good. I approved it.
Any notes? All in favor. And when you're caught up, Lenny, we will be caught up. This ordinance 2009-0105, ordinance to set and adopt the fiscal year for the city of Dudley, Georgia, January 1st through December 31st, and for other purposes.
I believe we passed the ordinance to adopt the fiscal year of the city from 1-8-31.
Any second discussion on that?
See, there's no discussion. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
The ordinance passes.
This is ordinance number 2009-0106, an ordinance authorizing, among other things, the issuance and sale of a tax anticipation note.
I move we accept this motion.
We have a motion from Taylor to approve. Is there a second? Robert, second. Discussion? All right, see that.
Is this the same thing we discussed at the last meeting?
Yes, 0.9 over the lateral rate. Okay. And the interest doesn't start until money's actually taken down. But then it continues to the end of the year. But it has to be paid at the end of the year, I think.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, any other questions on this discussion? No. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? If there are none, that motion passes. And I'm going to, Brian, do I need to have a second to call for a quick break?
No, let's keep going. One thing we would like to actually do. we would like to do is actually have the assistant acting city clerk actually pass too, so she can sign the docs.
Okay.
So let's get through as quick as we can to that point, and then let's have a break.
Okay, what item is that on?
That's actually new business. I think it's the last new business item, so we can go quickly.
Nice placement.
For the executive. Anything? I should get through that.
I move that we curtail the current...
It's not allowed to.
I move...
You can't.
Okay. I'm sorry. I move that we move to agenda item K-5.
Second, I move.
Is that legitimate?
Yeah, you can do that. That's not adding agenda.
Okay.
Okay. Is there a second? Okay. Second. Discussion on moving this item up. No discussion. All in favor, please say aye.
No.
Aye. Any opposed? Now, Warren, we want to talk. Is this post-discussion?
Okay, yeah, we can take a break now.
Now, we haven't voted on... Okay, so we moved up. We're going to move to
K-5.
Okay, Lanny, can you read us this resolution?
Yes, one second.
No time, Lenny.
You gotta take a break.
By the way, can Brian help you over there?
David,
we need to change the contract.
The answer is
yeah. He's a lawyer.
Go for it.
This is Resolution 2009-01-3, a resolution to appoint an assistant acting city clerk for the city of Dunwoody.
See, Brian, that wasn't so bad, was it? All right, thank you.
We appoint acting assistant city clerk for the city of Dunwoody.
All right, Danny, thank you. Second. Tom, second. Any discussion on this?
Yes, Danny.
Who might it be?
Linda Cook.
It's in a resolution.
It's Linda Cook.
Laura Cook is on our staff, and this will be simply a bookkeeping measure, being that the acting clerk that y'all appointed is in Johns Creek, and from a speed and convenience factor, having somebody in our office that can sign documents to attest to items that y'all approved would add some convenience until our city clerk is appointed and confirmed by council and brought on board.
If it's Laura Cook, I am strongly in favor of it. Is that built
No benefit either, right?
We're going to get her a t-shirt that says.
All right, any other? Yes, Robert.
What's the prospect to having, you know, this is an acting assistant. What's the prospect for having a real city clerk? When do we think that will occur?
We are breaking executive session tonight. We will be discussing that.
Okay. So if we're going to have a real city clerk in a matter of days, do we need to appoint somebody as an acting assistant?
Yes.
Okay.
any other discussion questions? Otherwise, you want to finish
last. This kind of be in fact. This kind of the fact that this would occur the past
where we have a real clerk. That's why we can do that tomorrow. Okay.
Any other questions?
It's just somebody that when it says city clerk on the sign, they can sign it. And, you know, the legal effect is when you pass an ordinance, that's when it becomes real. The mayor executes it. And the city clerk is a perfunctory signature on the document to make sure that it is what y'all have actually passed.
Works for me.
All right. Excellent. Any other questions? Seeing that there's none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. Resolution passes. Brian, now's the time?
Yes, we are ready, I think, to have a break if you so desire.
Okay, how much do we need?
How much? Don, what is it? 10 minutes? 10 minutes?
Yeah. All right. 10 minutes. We are going to take a 10-minute break. I have to sign the TAN papers to get that in motion. So y'all enjoy yourself for 10 minutes. And we will reconvene at, puts us back here at 8:10.